today, ladies and gentlemen, it's going to be Scripture, Paul 25. You find it in your pew Bible on page 475. To you, O Lord, lift up my soul, O my God, in you I trust. Do not let me be put to shame. Do not let my enemies exult over me. Do not let those who wait for you, to you, be put to shame. Let them be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all day long. Be mindful of your mercy, O Lord, and of your steadfast love, for they have been from the old. Do not remember the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me. For your goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his way. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast, love, and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and his decrees. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The gospel. God's word for the people of God. If you'd like to stand, that you might hear it in that state, and if you might honor it that way, I invite you to do so. As I said, we changed the scripture because of events, and I want you to hear this. This is the 23rd chapter of Luke. We are at the crucifixion. Two others also who were criminals were led away to be put to death with Jesus, and they came to the place that is called the Skull. They crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they cast lots to divide his clothing. And the people stood by watching, but the leaders scoffed at him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one. The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. There was also an inscription over him, This is the king of the Jews. One of the criminals who were hanging there kept deriding him and saying, Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us. But the other rebuked him, saying, Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus replied, Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Friday was a difficult day. I was busy at home doing all kinds of things and working, and heard news late of the tragedy that occurred in Dallas. And it was painful to hear. It was painful to begin to understand what had occurred. People protesting in a country where it is legal to protest and it is our right, and a social injustice that has been occurring being corrected, and the police protecting them, and a sniper begins to kill the policeman. Now, I don't know about you, but it just seems like it's just one more straw. It's just one more thing that's happened. It's just been things after thing after thing, and it has been rather overwhelming. And I realize we need to pause and kind of focus. I was listening on the news. I scanned past the evening news, which sometimes doesn't do us any favors with their sensationalism. But I scanned to PBS, to the News Hour, with Judy Woodruff and David Brooks, Mark Shields. Mark Shields is a commentator. I think he's retired now, but he was commenting. He says, I remember 1968. How many of you remember 1968? It was a tough year. It was a hard year. There were riots. For those of you who weren't aware, riots and bloodshed and assassinations. And the nation was on fire. It was a hard time. And David Brooks commented, or Mark Shields commented, he said, I remember when we elected a black president, and he said, I celebrated because I thought, now the journey is complete. Our journey of moving away from racism has succeeded, and we have finally come to where we need to be. And he says, as I watch the events of today, he said, I no longer believe that. And he said, I feel like we're many steps from that. He was crushed. He was, as many of us, devastated. We are making good progress. Fear not. We are not where we were. We are like the little girl touching grandma and grandpa's cheeks with the wrinkles. God's getting better at making us. We are making good progress. Kids today raised are more inclusive than they've ever been. But part of making it illegal to discriminate and pushing that bigotry underground has meant that it's festered there and hasn't necessarily been lifted into the light that has cured it. So it is erupting in places. I scanned from PBS to MTV. I almost had to take oxygen. I don't watch MTV a lot, but they were a group of youth sitting together and talking, and it was obvious what they were talking about. And a Hispanic man had the microphone, and he said, it's not about Black Lives Matter, and it's not about All Lives Matter. He said, it's more than that, but it's different than that. He said, we're all of us have been under it. Victimized is what he was saying. A Hispanic Latino speaking from his perspective. And we need to hear that. And he turned and he scanned, and there were Africans there, and he says, Africans, Asians, Hispanic, Latino, Chinese, Muslim, gay, straight. He said, we've all been victimized. And he said, and nobody's listening. And I had to pause and think about what he said. But you see, as we began to think about what's going on, we've gotten off the track already. We're on a sidetrack from the main point here. We've got distracted by race and bigotry and discrimination from the main point. So let's get back. You need to know that I have been a police chaplain since 1990. I have not been a police chaplain since coming to Burns and Jefferson Avenue. There's no way there's enough time in my life to do that. I've been associated with 3 departments, worked with 6. I have a lot of cop friends. Some of you know a cop. Some of you related to a cop. Some of you had close encounters with a cop. Don't raise your hands on that one. I've met a lot of awesome police officers. One of the officers, I first met him, I thought, I am never going to get along with this guy. I'm just going to give him my distance. And he looked at me the same way, and we kind of just... And by the end of the time when I moved from there, we were the closest of friends. God works in mysterious ways. But in the midst of knowing all the law officers and men and women of that serve, I've only known 1 or 2 that were just not good cops, that were bad cops. There are some out there. Diversity says that in any group, you'll have all different shapes, sizes, types, and mentalities. So there are some that are not good. There are some that have made mistakes. I was talking to a law enforcement friend about the shooting in Minnesota that just happened. Wasn't it Minnesota? We believe it was just one of those tragic mistakes that comes out of adrenaline. Anybody ever experienced adrenaline and doing something totally stupid? Thank you for not being ashamed to lift your hand. We do that, and when you're a law officer and you have a weapon, it can be deadly. Ask Deputy
Robert Bates,
Tulsa. The excitement, they were making an arrest. They were trying to subdue a man who was arguing, fighting, wrestling, struggling. He thought he had his taser, and he went to tase the man and shot him instead. Deputy Bates is in prison. The man died. We are humans, and we make mistakes, and so sometimes those things happen. He wasn't a bad cop. He was a cop that made a terrible mistake. But now we're off track again, because now we're talking about cops and good cops and bad cops and profiling and arrests, and all of those are important issues, and all those issues matter, and all those count, and we need to work on there, but that's not the primary point where we should be. Did you hear that the murder rate in Chicago is up 84%? Recent weekend, 34 murders in one weekend. Things are not okay. Can you imagine those neighborhoods? Can you imagine living in those neighborhoods? How long would it take you to pack up and move out of those neighborhoods? Some cannot. Think about that. Some cannot. They don't have that choice. They just can't say, "This is not. I can't protect my children here. I am going to go elsewhere." Some cannot. And some are trapped by themselves. They don't know another way. They're comfortable there. It's the way they've always been. And they're just as stuck as if they were chained to the wall. And as we pause and say, "Oh, those poor people in those neighborhoods," a piece of us says, "Thank God I don't live in that neighborhood, and my neighborhood's not like that." True? It's called classism. There are neighborhoods that we basically have lost, and because it's there, we allow things to happen there that shouldn't. But we're distracted again. Now we're on classism. Now we're on a different object. In discussions on things that occurred, guns came up. You ever heard anybody talking about guns? My goodness, you get started on that conversation and you can run for weeks and years and a millennia. And there is something to be said for both sides. I am a gun owner, but I have a problem with guns. It's all in the midst. But we're distracted again. And if we begin to talk about where we are and who we are and get distracted by any of these, we've lost where we are. Fear is a central thing about what we need to be thinking about and where we need to be focused and where we need to realize there's a reality. David Brooks from PBS said that very same thing. He said, "Fear is making people make choices that they would not make otherwise. Fear is causing good Christians to do unchristian things. Fear is causing good, God-loving people to do ungodly things. Fear can often be expressed as anger, and it comes out in awful ways. Europe is reeling under a flood of refugees from Syria. If you lived in Syria, your places was being bombed, there's a war there, wouldn't you do everything you could to possibly do to get out of there?" And we are taught by Christ to welcome those, to accept those refugees, to help those who are struggling. They're overwhelmed by them. There are so many. It is a difficult time. And there is fear because they are overwhelmed. Fear is real. But fear is, again, not the primary issue. We received an email letter from the bishop this after the events on Friday. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I want to read a piece of it. She said, "Headlines claim our attention against the backdrop of recent terrorist activities in Orlando, Istanbul, Saudi Arabia, Bangladesh. Political hate speech, betrayal of public trust, aching chronic poverty, poisoned water, persecution of gay people, viruses, Ebola, Zika. And beneath the public agony, our hearts beat with the very deep and personal sorrows and fears. Nobody knows the troubles we're seeing but Jesus." She's alluding to that song. We have to sing that one of these days, Peggy. Nobody knows the troubles we've seen. And we can hear that and it resonates with us. This is the bishop again. I find myself praying, God, you promise fullness of life. We were living the valley of the shadow of death. Shall we fear no evil? Are you protecting us with your rod and staff? We could use your comfort. Shiri says, God is quick to answer my prayers with a call to action. Hey, church, listen up. Give me some help here. I've prepared you for this. Love your neighbors. Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute. Judge not. Cry out for justice. Be my peacemakers. Prayer is answered. She continues, when I am buffeted by the news, I turn to Scripture in prayer because I am absolutely certain that God is working through people of faith to build a better future. That's our bishop. Amen. I challenge us to think about all the ways we've been distracted, all the sidetracks. You can go down the gun sidetrack. You can go down the immigration sidetrack. You can go down the classism sidetrack. You can talk to people and say, oh yeah, those poor people, but then they spend money on cars they can't afford and rich cars when they live in shanties. I had a psychology teacher. We were all of that opinion, and she said, all right, let's pretend that you live in a hovel. Parts of the wall are cardboard boxes, and the wind howls through, and it's on the wrong side of any set of tracks you ever dreamt of. And that's all you can live. That's the only place, and you can't afford anything else. You will go nuts if you were there all the time, unless you have a way to an escape. For some, that's drugs. For others, they'll buy one nice set of clothes, one nice automobile, and for a brief time, they can get in the car and they can leave all of that behind. Judge not. So, all those side issues, and we can go down all of them and we can spend all the time we want, but when we do that, we have moved away from that core issue again. We've moved away from where we need to be, that primary focus, that there is evil in the world, that there are bad people, but there are more good people than bad people. And we are called to be about being those good people and helping people see those good people. And we are about forgiveness, not judgment. There's Jesus on the cross. The one criminal gets it. He said, we're guilty of sin, and we're being punished, and we should be punished because we're guilty. But this man is innocent. Have you ever been unjustly accused? Have you ever had someone tell a lie about you? Have you ever had something happen where you're being accosted in that way? My reaction is just furious, just anger. And Jesus says, forgive them, for they know not what they do. There is hope in us with Christ and with our peacemaker. God is waiting for us to live it that way. God has set a security net. It is the church, and we are it. We are those gathered. So we have something to do, but I'd like to take a moment. Let's light a candle. What should we light candles for? The first, for victims. What kind of victims are we talking about? We're talking about victims of profiling. We're talking about victims who were killed at a traffic stop when it didn't need to be that way. We're talking about police officers who are victims as well. We're talking about all of those who have been hurt, who have been injured. Can we pause and think about them and think about innocence and forgiveness and judgment? In the midst of that, we need to light a candle and be very aware of a danger to us all. Fear. I would say we know the right things to do. I would say that we know how Christ would have us respond. But out of fear, so many times we don't do what we know we should do. Out of fear to open our hearts. Out of fear, we close doors. Out of fear, we reject others. Out of fear, we turn in anger. Even your pastor gets angry, especially on the road. This is the hardest candle. This is the candle for the perpetrators. The bishop lifted that. How do we pray for those who have done evil? You see, it's more societally acceptable to think of ways to punish them. It's more acceptable to think of how awful they are and how despicable and graphic ways that we can punish them. But it's not the Christian way. And there's a piece of that that is about our souls themselves. Because when we go there in anger at our perpetrators, we darken our own souls. We are the ones who lose. Prayers for perpetrators, the man in Dallas who shot the police officers, had to have been mentally ill. Who would do such atrocities? Who would do such awful things? I didn't warn Mark, but if you'd come forward, I want to have him light the last candle. The last candle is the candle that is we the Christians, we the church. He is your lay leader. He leads and represents us all. Because you see, we have to do it. It isn't going to get done by any other way. The solutions are not there. And we're getting better at it. That hymn that we sang, we listened to Harry Emerson Fosdick. I don't know what was going on. It was 1930s. You can imagine what kind of turmoils were going on in their world. But think of the world today compared to 1930. We are better. And we're getting better every day. And through Jesus Christ, we will continue to grow. Mark and I will lead. And we as Christians will lead. Because that's the point. We've got to start listening to all that's going on. And people are going to get off on these sidetracks and they'll get all hysterical about all of this. And help them come back to the center and say, yes, there is evil in the world. But there are more good people than evil people. I tried to remember the exact incident. I was in a store the other day and I was focused on what I was trying to do. You've ever been that way? And I ran into a guy. There was a big black guy and we bumped shoulders and we kind of knocked each other back. And he turned around and he kind of looked at me and I kind of looked at him. I said, I'm sorry. I said, I'm completely brain dead. I'm not looking where I'm going or nothing. And he laughs and he says, no, it was me that ran into you. He says, we both bounced all over the place. It can go lots of different ways in those interactions, can't it? We are the Christians called to be the ones to find out what the real issue is about loving one another and about leading there. Amen.